Whenever I think about the phrase, that is toxic, or this is a toxic environment, I'm always brought back to my memory as a child of toxic waste and how it poisoned and broke down and destroyed everything that it was around.
So the big question is this: how are worship leaders like us, who didn't go to every worship conference in the world and are spending money out of our own pockets, how do we lead our ministry in a way that lets our team, pastors, and church experience God's presence in a way that will change the world and yet still remain real? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Ken Jansen, and welcome to Worship Leader Secrets.
What's up, everybody? This is Ken Jansen. Welcome to the Worship Leader Secrets podcast. Super excited to have you guys here today. As always, today we are talking about how to serve in a toxic environment. And in the intro, I talked about in my childhood, I remember the phrase toxic waste. Like, you would just hear about that on the news, or this company is getting sued for millions of dollars or being investigated because they're pouring toxic waste into the water supply, or toxic waste into this area, and it's poisoning the drinking water, or it's poisoning the plants, or the people are getting cancer or whatever. I mean, it was terrible. You know, I can just envision that logo of the three, you know, black triangles and the yellow background. If you've ever seen Back to the Future, I think about, you know, that toxic logo that's on the box of plutonium that, what's his name, Dr. Emmett Brown steals or hijacks from the Libyans or whatever. Anyway, the Libyans. But toxic waste, it's bad. It is not good. And if you are in a situation right now, or have been, or maybe you're walking into a toxic environment, I hope this will help you, because it really helped me. And each one of these podcasts and these episodes, again, my heart is to share with you all of my own personal pitfalls and the challenges that I've been through, because I believe God allowed that to happen so that I could share this with you and share some hope and some light, some encouragement, and some wise counsel to help get you through to the other side, where God really wants you to thrive and succeed and do great things for His kingdom. So, in talking about a toxic environment, I'm pulling from my own personal experiences. I've had some pastors, lead pastors, associate pastors, whatever, vice president pastors, like second in command and all that, like, that were just unhealthy. They had some things going on in their own lives. They had some radically unhealthy ideas about leadership, and they created an environment around them through pressure, through oppression, through high expectations that if you didn't do it this way, then you were going to be penalized or your job was at stake. And I believe that any private enterprise, any business can have that kind of environment. Like, if you're not really producing in a good way, then why are you there? So I agree with that in the simplest of forms. However, some pastors and some ministry leaders do that in a way that causes those who are in those areas to feel bad about themselves, to feel depressed, to feel fear, to feel confusion, to feel like they're not good enough and they're not meeting the mark. And guess what, guys? Those are not tools of the Lord. Those are tools of Satan to rob you of joy and rob you of the peace and the confidence and the calling that God has placed on your life. And it's wrong for any pastor, any ministry leader, any small group leader, any supervisor you may have in your ministry area or church area, it's wrong for them to put you in a position where that is happening to you. And I would highly encourage you to go to another, go to an elder, go to your pastor if you can, go to someone else, talk with them about it, and see if you can work out those relationship differences. And sometimes you can, sometimes there is a lot more challenge that you need to get over. But in my encouragement in this episode, I want to share with you something that a very dear friend of mine shared with me years and years ago, and it's a small little book. I highly recommend it. I'll put the link in the description of the podcast. You can go and buy it on Amazon or somewhere else, maybe eBay. But it's called A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards, and it really focuses on King Saul, King David, and King Absalom, and how each one of these kings are different. It's been a long time since I've read it. I'm pretty sure those are the three kings, but it talks about their lives, what they went through, the challenges they faced, their own personal stress, and how God brought them through it. And it really poses the question, what kind of king are you going to be? What kind of person with a heart are you going to be? How are you going to treat those around you? How are you going to navigate the challenges that you are facing? And Gene Edwards, fantastic author. I'd love to meet him. That would be fantastic. I'm not sure if he's still alive, but if he is, I want to talk to this guy and thank him, because the way that he writes this book, he uses, you know, the story of David in the Old Testament, and he adds in a wonderful narrative, and he kind of fills in some of the cracks that aren't in the scriptures, you know. So how David felt, or what God was doing by, you know, creating this situation, or what David was walking into, or what Saul felt, or Absalom, and how they reacted, and what was going on. He essentially kind of uses some fiction there, but really helps, you know, flesh out a story that is easy to put yourself into and to get emotionally invested. So I'm going to read to you just a couple of small sections, and then we're going to take it from there, and then we'll close out. David was caught in a very uncomfortable position. However, he seemed to grasp a deep understanding of the unfolding drama in which he had been caught. He seemed to understand something that few of even the wisest men of his day understood, something that in our day, when men are wiser still, even fewer understand. And what was that? God did not have, but wanted very much to have, men and women who would live in pain. God wanted a broken vessel. Now, that excerpt from the book is not super encouraging right there. However, that really helps us see where the book is kind of going. It talks about how David was in pain for a long period in his life, and God was with him through that whole experience. It goes on to say, "You can easily tell when someone has been hit by a spear. He turns a deep shade of bitter, and David never got hit. Gradually, he learned a very well-kept secret. One, never learn anything about the fashionable, easily mastered art of spear throwing. Two, stay out of the company of all spear throwers. And three, keep your mouth tightly closed. In this way, spears will never touch you, even when they pierce your heart." So what he's talking about in that section is, obviously, King Saul was going mad with envy, and his spirit had changed and shifted. You know, at one time he was God's chosen leader, and then he hears about David growing up, and people are singing songs about him, and he's just looking at David with this envy and anger in his heart, to the point where he was actually throwing spears at him. And I can't imagine being in a room, in a hall, in a massive tent. There are other people around, and here you are playing music for the king, and he is literally throwing spears at you, trying to kill you. Now, I have been in situations where people have glanced at me with just a look, and you're like, man, if looks could kill, you'd be throwing spears at me right now. However, in this section, the author talks about how David, he never got hit with a spear, and the Bible records that. David either dodged him or Saul was terrible at throwing spears or missed him. But David learned about that scenario. Wow, I'm trying to serve this person. This is clearly a toxic environment. This is not healthy for me to stay in. That person isn't healthy. He's got some anger issues going on. But I am not going to throw spears back at this person. I never want to learn anything about this fashionable, easily mastered art of spear throwing. So I don't want to jab back or talk back to this person or, you know, throw words back at this person. Two, I'm not going to be around him that much. You know, if I can tell that this is an unhealthy person and they are out to get me, I'm not going to spend much time with this person. And three, the author says, keep your mouth tightly closed. And that means, you know, don't go around spreading information or how you feel about this person or asking all the other staff members at church, hey, what do you think about this person? How is that? Well, they said this to me. What did he say to you? What did she say in this situation? Blah, 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 blah. If you start spreading all of that toxicity, all of that unhealth, that is going to have a massive effect. And the author again says, in this way, spears will never touch you even when they pierce your heart. So if you've got a leader, maybe your pastor, maybe somebody else that you work closely with that has just been out to get you, do not go on the offensive and try to get them back. In this way, God is going to be with you. Remember, if other people are seeing this or they're hearing about it or they're experiencing it in the same room or other meetings or something like that, God is going to be the one that will vindicate you. It may take time. It may not look like what you thought it would be. But in all of this, think about your heart. You know, and when I've had leaders do this before, and it's brutal. It's heartbreaking. You think, man, I came here to serve this person. I came here to give this person my absolute best. And here they are just, you know, ruining my heart, stealing my joy, stealing my passion for this. Like, I'm trying to give my absolute best, but it's never good enough. And they're making me feel awful, you know, and part of you may want to strike back. But if you do that, you are slowly going to turn into the very thing that you are trying to defend yourself from. And that would be my encouragement and how to serve in a toxic environment. No matter who it's coming from, don't lash out back at them. Don't spend time around them if you can. Now there may be a staff meeting or even like a staff retreat or a trip, you know, to a conference or something. There may be an opportunity to rebuild relationship or, you know, figure out if there's really some offense that you created and some way to apologize for that. And, you know, again, apologizing is not weakness. If you have done something wrong or you stepped on somebody's toes, you know, take the opportunity to say, hey, I was wrong. I'm sorry about that. I heard this, or, you know, I heard that, you know, I created this offense against you and I really did not mean to do that. I want to serve well. I want to work with you. And in coming to that situation, you're going to disarm them of that anger. If they are really unhealthy, they're going to show it in another way. But again, don't spread that. I've often thought that sin, you know, like anger in this situation, it's like a cancer that if left untreated, it's just going to grow and grow and grow. So if you start talking to other staff members or spreading, you know, how you feel to other people that are not, you know, confidential people that you can talk to, then that cancer is just going to grow and grow and grow and create even more of a toxic environment. So that would be my encouragement to you. I know it's a hard situation to go through. I've gone through it several times and it's never, it doesn't get easier per se, but it is easier when you can notice it and say, oh, okay, here's how I need to act in this situation. And I either need to confront this person or talk with them or you know, see if there's some kind of reconciliation I can go through, or I'm not going to spend time worrying about it so much and just let God take care of it. And I believe this will greatly help you. Again, this book is called A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It's fantastic. I'll put the link in the description. Check it out. I know it will serve you well. So that's all for today. If you found this podcast helpful, I would love for you to like, comment. You can give a review, share, subscribe. Really helps the numbers online and ranking this podcast to help these tips get out to more worship leaders who need encouragement. So that is all for today. Praying for you, even as I do this podcast, and praying that your situation, wherever you are at and what God has you doing, I pray that your calling would just be fulfilled and you would feel confident and excited and filled with joy to worship the Lord in the way that He's created you to do. So that's all for today, and we will talk to you next time. Have a great day, and yeah, we'll see you next time.
Want more worship leader secrets? If so, then go get your copy of my best-selling book, Powerhouse, at worship-coach.com. Inside, you'll find my top 15 methods I've used, developed, and proven for over 20 years, used at churches around the world for building incredible and engaging worship services where people are connecting with God and lives are being transformed.